beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden in the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links, please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123, and you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. To welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We're an inner city, all-volunteer congregation dedicated to feeding the poor and preaching the gospel to all the earth. I'm happy to announce to you that we had 335,000 hits on our website this past month. We had 125 countries that responded and came to our website this past month. That's about two-thirds of all the countries in the entire earth. We send the gospel out here, and it's broadcast to the whole world about four times every Sunday. And isn't that wonderful? We throw it out to all the world a seed, and three-fourths of the world is responding back to us. How wonderful it is. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. That's www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We'd like to encourage you to tune in same time, same station next week. Have a church in your home. Invite your neighbors. Tune in. Take the Lord's Supper. Sing. Pray, take up a contribution in your area, and don't send the money to us. Keep it and do good in your own community. Buy Bibles and help the poor in your own community. We'd encourage you that you can have a congregation in your own home. We really believe in autonomous congregations. That's what the Lord set up. We're going to study the church in a few weeks, but that's what the Lord set up, is each congregation rules itself and governs itself under the rulership of Christ. I'm going to make some comments now, and it's directed towards one man and not towards the millions of those faithful people who are just trying to find Jesus Christ to the best of their ability, because there are millions of those, but it's only directed towards one man who was wrong. I guess y'all all heard that we don't have anything to worry about. The Pope announced that there's no such thing as hell. Well, I think we need to drug test that guy. We got a real problem here. Because that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that's why he came to the earth, was to save us from hell. And so otherwise, why would Christ go through what he went through that we're going to study today? The good news is that I'm preaching to you about the good news today, and next Sunday, if you'll come, I'm going to preach about the bad news. I'm going to preach about hell and what God has to say about hell and what the Bible has to say about hell. Jesus believed in hell, and all of the apostles taught it, and so we need to be very careful of this. We're going to study, if you put up that first slide of the Gospels side by side, you'll see what is called a harmony of the Gospels. And you'll see, if you study in chronological order, you'll see that there's a harmony of the Gospels, like right here. And so what I'm going to do today, last week we studied the whole gospel story according to John. And what I'm going to do today is take the fullest verse from Matthew, Mark, and Luke and give you the gospel today according to the synoptic gospels. But still, I want to warn you that we still lose a lot. You've got to study and read each book of the Bible or you're going to lose a lot. And again, we'd like to invite our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Now, I'm not going to be able to call all of these sites, but I'm going to simply call the book that we're moving between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so we'll begin now with Mark chapter 14, verse 43. And immediately while he yet speak, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. Luke. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about saw him and would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? Matthew. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Luke. And Jesus answered and said, now this is a hard verse to translate from the Greek. It says, what his point is that, and Jesus said, we've suffered with them thus far. In other words, we put up with them this far. And so it points, Jesus is pointing towards the peaceful nature of his kingdom. And he touched his ear and healed him. So Jesus sent back, this is a servant of the high priest, he sends back to the high priest his own servant now testifying to the miracles and wonders and signs done by the Lord. Matthew 26. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? That's 60,000 angels. One angel has the ability to disrupt the entire comings and goings of a country. If you read in Daniel chapter 10, where one angel was resisting the rulers of the Persian Empire. More than 12 legions of angels. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? And so you heard some of those scriptures this morning from Isaiah 53 that Burnett Woods read you. In that same hour said Jesus unto the multitude, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in a temple, and you laid no hold on me. Matthew. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then when all of the disciples forsook him and fled. And so one of the scriptures Jesus is pointing to, as he pointed out in the Last Supper and he quoted, is from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, Jesus is the good shepherd against my shepherd, and a man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I shall turn my hands upon the little ones. And of course, that's what the devil wants to do, is scatter us and make us not one, so that he can turn his hands upon the little ones, us, God's little ones. Matthew 26. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. And now we've got a picture of Caiaphas's bone box, his ossuary. The Jews were digging a road over in Israel, and they broke through the top of a burial cave. And they found the burial cave of Caiaphas. And so this is the bone box. When Jews buried people, they'd lay you on a bench and let you rot for the year. Then at the end of the year, they'd have one of these bone boxes. It's called an ossuary. And notice how beautifully decorated this is. Only the rich and powerful could afford something like that. That's made out of one block that's been hollowed out. And so they broke into this cave, and they found Caiaphas's bone box. And the next slide will show you, in Hebrew, this says Joseph Bar Kufu, Joseph, son of Caiaphas. And so Josephus gives us his full name, and so we know that that is him. We know that that's the very bone box of the high priest. And guess what? He was coined in the mouth. He had a coin to pay the mythical river boat captain to take him across the river Styx into hell. And so he believed more in Greek mythology. Obviously, he did not believe in the God of heaven, whose very son he murdered, even though he had done so many miracles and signs and wonders in front of him. Verse 58, Matthew 26, 58. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace. And we saw last week from John how John is the one that got him in there. And went in and sat with the servants to see the end. And now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. Now here you can see a picture of the representation of the high priest's house that they have found in Jerusalem, which is really a great palace that had a courtyard in the center. And so not only did Annas live there, but Caiaphas lived there. And so when he sent from Annas to Caiaphas, it's just really across the courtyard. Mark 14, 56. For many bear false witness against him, but their witnesses agreed not. There arose certain that bear false witness against him, saying, we have heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I'll build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What that which these witness against thee? But he held his peace, and he answered him nothing. And Isaiah said in Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And he's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. Again, back to verse 61 in Mark 14:61. But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Now, Jesus gives a very plain answer this time. This is a nighttime trial. This is not before the Sanhedrin, although many are there. Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. When Jesus was resurrected, it was to sit at the right hand of God, and coming in the clouds of heaven, meaning his second coming at the end of time. 63. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we of further witnesses? As I pointed out to you last week, if you turn with me to Leviticus 10:6. And Moses said unto Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ishamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes. It was against the law of Moses for a high priest or any priest to rend their clothes, tear their clothes, pitch a fit and tear their clothes. They were not to act that way, to conduct themselves that way. Lest ye die, the person who did it is to die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. 1,500 years before it happened, God could see the future and see what this high priest would do, and he made a law against it so all the other Jews would know that this was a bad hombre,
that this was a bad guy that is killing the Son of God. And so this man didn't even believe in the God of heaven that we believe anyway. Matthew 26:66. What think ye? And they answered and said, he's guilty of death. All of them are in cahoots and in it together. Then did they spit in his face and buffet him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? This is what Jesus put up with to save us from hell. Matthew 26:58. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in, and sat with the servants to see the end. Verse 69. Now Peter sat without, in the courtyard, in other words, in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou art also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone up unto the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while he came to him that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and swear, and saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Luke. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now it's after the sunrise, and he is going to be examined before the Sanhedrin court, Luke 22:66. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. Now all they went through at night, they're going to repeat it again because they have to have a formality of a trial. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also asked you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. Now in Greek here, it's just like me popping back off to somebody and saying, you said it with your own mouth. Of course I am, in other words. So he is again affirming under oath that he is the Christ. That's why he was put to death. We have to come to a decision in our lives. Either he was the Christ and we need to obey him if we hope to be saved, or if he wasn't, let's don't waste our time, man. Let's eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. There's no hope whatsoever. And if he wasn't the Christ, then he was a false prophet, and he was the worst false prophet of all of history because he taught men to trust their souls unto him. You say that I am. And they said, what need we of any further witnesses? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. We'd encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Matthew. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Now, this word repented here just means that he changed his mind. He wasn't really sorry and willing to change his life, but he changed his mind. He might have been sorry for what he'd done and how it turned out, but he wasn't willing to change his life. God doesn't want us to go kill ourselves. He wants us to instead obey him and follow him and become Christ-like. And Judas was unwilling to do that. Peter, after denying the Lord, changed and served the Lord. This guy won't do that. Repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Notice the article there, the word the. Jesus was the only innocent blood that ever was. Nobody else. All the rest of us are sinners. Every man that ever lived is sinners except Christ. But he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful for to put them into the treasury. These guys are stone thieves. They're thieves day and night. They're only looking to enrich their own selves. Because this is the price of blood, so they made up a phony rule. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Now, a potter's field is like what we would have a gravel pit down here, only it doesn't have water in it. It's a place that they've gone in and took all the layer of clay out, and there's nothing left but the jagged rocks. And we happen to know in archaeology where this place is, exactly where this place is. Wherefore that place was called the Field of Blood unto this day. And so Matthew and Luke both give us this account. Then was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord has appointed me. Now what happened, Judas has brought the money back. They won't take the money, so he throws it down. They take it. A potter's field's not worth 30 pieces of silver. It's probably not worth 2 pieces of silver. And they said, well, let's buy this old junkyard out here, this old potter's field. And so he gives the 30 pieces of silver to his cousin or brother-in-law or somebody. And Ananias himself winds up with that potter's field. And that's where he builds his tomb. And he builds a great tomb, great mausoleum. This is a picture here of his tomb, what's left of it now today. Now the prophecy that foretold this in Zechariah 11, beginning in verse 10, and I took my staff, even beauty, notice that's capitalized, that means the Messiah, the Christ, Hebrew Noam, my delight, my splendor, my grace. I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant that I had made with all the people. What covenant? Well, it was a covenant that God made to Noah, and he didn't make it with all the people. There's a covenant that God made with Abraham, and he made it with Abraham, not all the people. But there was a giving of the law of Moses at Mount Sinai. In order to break the law of Moses, God himself had to take on human form according to his own rules and die in order to bring in a new testament, a new covenant. And that's what we have here. We have the death of an innocent victim because all of us are guilty. One man dies for the sins of the world, that I might break my covenant that I made with all the people. And it was broken in that day, and so the poor of the flock, this is a metaphor for the remnant, that small remnant of people that's always been waiting for the Messiah to come, that the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the Word of the Lord. And who was Jesus? He was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, not for bare. So they wait for my price, 30 pieces of silver. Amazing prophecy, written 400 years before Christ was born. And the Lord said unto me, cast it to the potter. How in the world could the prophet know that the 30 pieces of silver would be cast to the potter and a goodly price that I was priced at of them, and I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast it to the potter in the house of the Lord. Absolutely amazing thing. And so the price, that means the value that was set upon the Lord. And it was the value of a slave. The value of a free man was 60 pieces of silver. And so you can see a picture here of the cliff where that's the tomb there, Ananias' tomb. And so above it here was probably a tree. And right here was the tomb of Ananias. And you can see pictures inside that tomb. This is what it looked like when he originally had it built. He built himself a great mausoleum, and in the pictures you can see this is the ceiling. It has a great huge rosette stone cut in it, and he has different chambers set off of it, no doubt one of them to bury strangers in, as he claimed that he was going to use the money for. And so the price of 30 pieces of silver was said in Ezekiel 21, verse 32, that if a slave is gored by an ox, that the owner of the ox will give the owner of the slave 30 pieces of silver for him, but the ox is to be stoned. And now the high priest have taken upon themselves the mantle of being the ox. They're going to have to pay with their own lives and indeed their own souls for what they're doing to the Lord here. Now, you think it isn't a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Just follow with me now in Acts chapter 1, verse 16. What happened to Judas? Well, we know that he hung himself, but where did he hang himself? Acts 1, 16. Men and brethren, Peter speaking, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained a part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. The high priest bought it, but it was Judas's money. He couldn't return the money and divest himself of his evil deed. It remained his money even in the possession of the high priest. And when the high priest bought the field with it, it became Judas's field. And where did fate take Judas to hang himself? He purchased a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst of that field, and all his bowels gushed out. Now, one of two things happened. He hung himself, and the rope or the branch broke, and he fell down there on those rocks and busted like a watermelon. That's one way that we could look at it. But it very well might be no Jew would touch a dead body. If you touched a dead body, you were ceremonially unclean for a week. You couldn't even go home for a week. So no Jew would take a hung man. They'd consider him really unclean. No Jew take a suicide down from a tree. He probably hung there till his old head pulled off and he fell down there and busted. It's already rotten. Boy, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Some people say what comes around goes around, but you know what the Bible says? Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, let's stop a minute about that field again. When the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, they tore down that mausoleum and everything of Annas's, and they rifled the tomb looking for any kind of anything that had any reward to it. And so his old body was thrown out there in that same field where Judas is rotten, and Judas and Ananias, both of those guys, are waiting right there in that field. Their dust and their bones are waiting there for the resurrection, and they'll be raised right side by side, these two terrible people from history, and they'll certainly get what they've got coming, and it's the thing that the Pope was mistaken about. Notice he didn't assure us that there was no hell sitting ex cathedra, as they call it. He wasn't sitting in his chair. They don't consider anything unless the Pope speaks ex cathedra as being absolutely true. We'll study about that next week. He won't be the first man that's been wrong. You know, I've been wrong before my own self. Matthew 27, and when morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders and the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when he had brought him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying, He himself is Christ the King." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered him and sayest, "Thou sayest it." Again, just like responding to somebody, you've said it with your own mouth. Verse 4, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." They were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people and teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee unto this place." Mark, and the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Matthew, then said Pilate to him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch as the governor marveled greatly. Luke, And they were all the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee unto this place." And when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. He hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. And then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at nothing, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Matthew. Now at that feast, the governor was going, or want, was going to, for Passover, to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. Mark. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that made insurrection with him who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, desired him to do as he had ever done unto them. Luke. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, and have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him." Matthew. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, that which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Now this multitude was not the multitude that greeted him as he rode the donkey, the colt, the foal of an ass into Jerusalem. That wasn't that multitude. This is the multitude that had the concessions, the money changers, and those who had seats that sold doves and sold sheep. These were the cousins and the brother-in-laws of all the chiefs and all the rich people and all the fat cats got together to have this nighttime trial and to murder the Son of God. We'd encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there. Luke 23. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison." And Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him, and let him go." See, Pilate really wanted to let him go. He says that's why he's going to scourge him, is to let him go. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. Matthew. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be upon us and our children." And it certainly was. One generation later, in 70 A.D., Jerusalem is destroyed and over a million Jews are killed. Luke 23. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and he released unto him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, and he delivered Jesus to their will. Notice the wonderful types and shadows that we have here. At the day of Passover, they would take two sheep, two goats, one, and the chief priest would shoot dice over them, and one would be the sacrifice, and the other would be the scapegoat, and they would pray, they'd lay their hands on the goat, and figuratively put the sins of the people on the scapegoat, and take the scapegoat out to the wilderness of sin, where he would be turned loose, and figuratively showing that the Lord would pass over sins for another year. There was no remission of sins under the Old Testament. There was only the passing over of sins till the next Passover until the perfect innocent victim would come, until the Messiah would come. Now we'll give to Matthew 27:27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered to him the whole band of soldiers, all those that were off duty, wasn't standing guard. 28, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took a reed and smote him on the head, fulfilling the prophecy of Micah. Micah was a young prophet that lived during the time of Isaiah. And Micah says, "But now gather thyself in troops." This is going to have something to do with troops, armies. "O daughter of troops, he has laid siege to us, and they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." Now here's a prophecy of the Messiah being struck by a rod upon the cheek. How do we know it's the Messiah? Well, look at verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though thou be little among the clans of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, who shall be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." God has promised ever since the foundation of the world that somebody's coming. The Christ, the Messiah, is coming. And where's he going to come from? He's going to come from the town, little town of Bethlehem, where David was born. And what are the Jews going to do to him? They're going to smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Mark 15:20. "And when they had mocked him, they took off of him the purple from him and put on his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon a Cyrenian who had passed by." Now this guy's made a 1,000-mile pilgrimage to come to Jerusalem, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Apparently, Simon was converted, and his own children were converted and become Christians and were well known to the early church, because Mark talks about them in such a way that he would expect his readers to know who he was talking about in Mark 15:21. Luke 23:27. "And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not." Matthew 27:33. "And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha," that is to say, the place of the skull. Now this place looks like a skull. It looks exactly like a skull, and that's why they call it the place of the skull. "They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall." Now gall is half opium and half sour wine. Opium for pain. I'd take the gall. Wouldn't y'all take the gall? If I'd been beat up all night and fixing to have nails drove through my hands and feet and fixing to be scourged and had a crown of thorns on, you could bet I'd double up on the opium. I'd take all the opium I could get. But through suffering, Christ is bringing many sons to glory, if you'll only believe. "They gave him vinegar," that means sour wine, "mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink." He wouldn't take the gall. Psalm 69, written 1,000 years before Christ is born, gives a prophecy of that. "They gave me also gall for my meat, and my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." How could the prophet know that 1,000 years beforehand? Luke 23. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. And so that's in fulfillment of Psalms 22:18. They part my garments among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots, written 1,000 years before it happened. Now we'll read Matthew's account of the superscription. They're taking somebody out to execute them. The head of the execution party would carry a pole and have a plaque on it about the size of a wooden roof shingle, and it would have the crime that they had committed. So this superscription is nothing unusual. This is what they do. It might have murder on it for them other guys they're crucifying with him. But the one for Jesus, Matthew tells us, Matthew 27:37, they set up over his head the accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Now, the full superscription, we're going to find out, has 10 words in it. Matthew remembers 8 of the 10. Mark, in Mark 15:25-26, now it was the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, and they crucified him, and a superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. Mark remembers 5 of the 10 words. All of them remember the last 5 as Mark does. Now Luke and the superscription also written over him in letters of Greek and of Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Luke, through his sources, gets 7 of the 10 words. Now John, writing later, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on his cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, and John gets 8 of the 10, omitting only this is. Stick that PowerPoint up there. You can see that how these harmonize. Go to the next one. You can see all of them have this. This is only what's missing, the ones in parentheses. Those of you on our radio, if you go to our website, you can see an illustration of this. And we see a perfect example of inspiration. If you had 4 people giving testimony in a court of law, and we bring in the witnesses, and those things blend together perfectly, notice that not one word is used that's not found in a subscription. If this was being made up, one of them would have said, Son of God. One of them would have said Messiah. One of them would have said another title of his, Lord or Christ or something. They would have been some kind of mistake, but you never find mistakes in Scripture. Matthew 27:38. Then there were 2 thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads in fulfillment of Scripture. They wagged their heads and shake their heads. Psalms 22:7, and all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and shake the head. Matthew 27:40. And saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and build it again in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. And likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And of course the psalmist says that the people around the cross are going to say, now 1,000 years before it happened, the psalmist tells us their very words, Psalms 22:8, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delights in him. Matthew 27. And the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Notice only one of the thieves mocked him or insulted him. Luke 23:39. And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Often I've been asked in my ministry, how did the thief on the cross go to heaven without being baptized? What makes you think he wasn't baptized? Where does it say that he wasn't baptized? How did he know Jesus was sinless? How did he know about the kingdom of God? If he hadn't been taught, does any of y'all ever know a backslider? I can look in the mirror and see one. Anybody ever know a backslider? Well, you know, under the law of Moses, baptism wasn't an ordinance. And it's going to be 43 days before Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. We like the Baptist baptized believer. You know something? If you come down here today and you believe and you're baptized, I still don't know whether you're saved or not. I'm not qualified to judge that. The Lord is the only one that can judge you in your heart. And so let's don't trifle about the thief on the cross and so forth. Mark 15:33. And when the sixth hour, noon, was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The very words of the prophet gave us 1,000 years before, Psalms 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Encourage you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Mark 15. And some of them that stood by when they heard it, they said, behold, he calls Elijah, and ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone and let's see if Elijah come and take him down. In Psalm 69:21 again, and they gave me also gall for my meat and my thirst. They gave me vinegar to drink. Mark. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And then one of Luke's eyewitnesses heard him say something when he did that, Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Matthew. And behold, a veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent. How come in Acts 6:7 it says, and many priests became obedient to the faith? Don't you know that that temple was plumb full of priests and they're going about, ordinary priests, not the big shots, but good ordinary priests going about their duties, and to see that 75-foot curtain tear from the top to the bottom, to see such a thing as that, that might be where some of those priests became faithful. Verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Notice that. It wasn't at his death that this happened, but at his resurrection he raised others who bore witness to him, and went to the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion which were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, and they feared greatly and said, truly this was the Son of God. Mark 15:41. And also when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when evening was come, because it was a preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, Matthew says he's a rich man, and an honorable council, which waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it, he gave the body to Joseph. Matthew. And he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre, and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Luke. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laying. Matthew 27:62. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples devils come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. And so the last error should be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, ye have a watch. You've got your own Jew soldiers. You've got your own Levites and temple guards. You have a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. Pilate's about had enough of these Jews, as we saw last week in John. They just kept nagging him all day long. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing it with a stone and setting a watch. And so this was a bunch of their cousins and brother-in-laws that's come. Mark 16, verse 2. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll away the great stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw the young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is risen. That's the great theme of today. He overcome death and rose from the dead. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Luke. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto him, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his word. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. And he said unto them, Matthew 28:8, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run and bring his disciples word. Mark. Now when Jesus was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he had cast out seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him that they mourned and wept. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Matthew. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them and sang, all hail. And they came and beheld him by his feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. And now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came unto the city and showed unto the chief priest all these things that were done. This is his own cousins and brother-in-laws. This is his own picked guard that's come and told the chief priest that angels has come and that Jesus is risen. And still they don't believe. And when they were assembled with the elders, well, they might believe, but they wanted the money more. And it taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. Notice that you're taught false religion. Notice that you're taught to do wrong by false religious teachers. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Mark. And after he had appeared in another form to them as they walked and went into the country. Mark 16:14. And after he appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them, the women, which had seen him after he had risen. Listen, if you're going to write a novel back in the first century and you wanted anybody paying attention to it, the last thing in the world you would pick for witnesses is women, because women couldn't vote. Women had no rights whatsoever. They had no property rights. They had no marital rights. They had no rights at all. Women were third-class citizens. They wasn't second-class citizens. It wasn't Hillary Clinton that gave you ladies all of your liberty. I guarantee you it was Jesus Christ who gave you your liberty. Luke 24:36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now in Acts, the same author tells us about his apostles, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. If you saw somebody for 40 days, could they trick you and be a spirit and be a spook or be a haint for 40 days and you not know it? Jesus did not rise in some kind of spiritual form. He didn't rise in the minds or the heart of his disciples. He literally, bodily rose from the dead. Luke 24, verse 38, and he said unto them, "Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, as I myself handle me, and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have." Notice he didn't say blood, maybe he poured it all out, huh? "And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them." Luke 24:44. "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled that are written in the law of Moses and in the Psalm and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened their understanding. He got his point across that they might understand the scriptures. "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Now you've heard the gospel. And that repentance and remission of sins, if you believe that gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel story, if you believe that, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. You can just march right down to the front down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. Repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ and rise to walk in newness of life. If you're here this morning and ready to become a Christian, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray that this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.